ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4th, Chapter number 2nd, and text number 34. Te api Vishvasrujaha Satram Sahasra Saran Samvidhyaya महेश्वास यत्र इज्जह ऋषभ हरि देयपि विश्वसृजः सत्रं सहस्रपरिवत्सरान् संविधाय महेश्वास यत्रेज्य ऋषभो हरि ते दोस अपि इवन विश्वसृजः प्रोजिनेटर्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्सल पॉपुलेशन सत्रम द सैक्रिफाइस सहस्र 1000 परिवत्सरान Years, samvidhaya, performing, maheshvasa, o vidura, yatra, in which, ijyaha, to be worshipped, rishabhaha, the presiding deity of all the demigods, harihi, hari. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The sage Maitreya continued, O Vidura, all the progenitors of the universal population thus executed a sacrifice for thousands of years, for the sacrifice is the best way to worship the Supreme Lord Hari, the Personality of Godhead. It is clearly stated here that the stalwart personalities who generate the entire population of the world are interested in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead by offering sacrifices. The Lord also says in Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, 29th verse, is Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. One may engage in performing sacrifices and severe austerities for perfection, but they are all meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord. If such activities are performed for personal satisfaction, one is involved in pashanda or atheism. But when they are performed for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, one is following the Vedic principle. All the assembled sages performed sacrifices for 1,000 years. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सगाग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि श्रीहरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ते अपि विश्वसृजः सत्रं सहस्रपरिवत्सरान् संविधाय महेश्वास यत्रिज्य ऋषभो हरिः। सेज मैत्रेय कंटिन्यूड, ओ विदुर, all the progenitors of the universal population thus executed a sacrifice for thousands of years, for sacrifice is the best way to worship the Supreme Lord Hari, the Personality of Godhead. So we see household life is very turbulent, very turbulent. Even Daksha Prajapati can get involved and become so puffed up that he forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his expansions and commit offenses to the greatest Vaishnava like Lord Shiva. Because Brahma induced Daksha Prajapati to get his daughter Uma married to him. Even though by some erratic behavioral or apparent, what we call, behavior, Daksha failed to understand the exaltedness of Lord Shiva. Alright? And as far as misunderstanding is concerned, it is due to ignorance. And ignorance was imposed by too much attachment to his householder life and expertness in propagating. Right? He was one of the sons of Brahma. And his daughter whose mother was Prasuti, Akuti, Prasuti and Devahuti, these were the three sisters of Manu Maharaj. So Brahma was settling. So for Prasuti he gave to Daksha. Now he was so expert in begetting children, subsequent children, and they were all powerful because after all the Manasa Putras can generate very well without even entering into some rituals, because they are rightly situated, they were ordered by Brahma to become Prajapatis. Subsequently, when the population increased, it was only on this reason that Brahma was failing in his, frustrating. He was feeling frustrated in the process of propagation. It is. Even though if one conceives mentally, like four Kumaras were first born and they were of different opinion than the father. Brahma ordered them to become Prajapati and they denied. We want to stay Brahmachari, not enter into. So you can understand the mental conception of Brahma. He didn't have a wife or there was no process except the mental conception, think of it and degenerate. All right? But at the same time, even when the Rudra came out, because Brahma was frustrated from the very attempt of begetting children, right? He was angry when the purpose of begetting is not satisfied. In India, they blame the women only. Kama istete hratagyana, hratagyana. They become completely devoid of this original purpose for begetting. So even if Brahma is affected and gets frustrated, what to speak of Daksha? He commits so much blunder. He thinks he was expert in begetting. All right? To beget by the natural sequence of the events, when Brahma became angry, Rudra came out, and Rudra came crying, Rudra means fearful, but Rudra, it is explained in Bhagavatam, he came crying, "Father, Father, tell me, what am I supposed to do?" So Brahma told him, "Become Prajapati. I have only one order. Become Prajapati." So Rudra expanded into 11, right? Rudranam Shankarashchashmi, out of one of them is Lord Shiva, as a guna avatar. But nonetheless, because he was transformation of Lord Vishnu's potency, he had been on his main target. Even he had to assume the incarnation of mode of ignorance, but yet agreeable to even sometimes the effect of mode of ignorance. But nonetheless, he keeps himself in balance simply by chanting his original form of Mahashankarshana. So, Lord Shiva, being the ideal spiritual master, he taught all others, even Uma, just to chant. But she is now getting married, and Daksha, in his yajna, did not get proper respect from his son-in-law. He started, the frustration. That I am so much expert and I am trying to populate the world, but he forgot the purpose for why he was doing it in the first place. On the other behalf, Lord Shiva was that, but the Rudra's expansion, when they became in turn Prajapati, their prajas and the prajas of other rishis that Brahma begot through mental conception, there is war. Different mentality, different psyche, and even at the inception of the material creation and the population is to be increased. Unless and until we are in tune for the purpose, why it is done in the first place. Brahma is acquainted. Brahma thought that by producing Manu and Shatrupa, the process of intercourse would be the one to beget the progeny. So, the mankind is also getting the same order, same kind of modality in producing children. But ignorance is set right when the mode of passion is not satisfied or frustrated. Then it creates entanglement and which is stooping down into some disastrous results. So one has to, one is advised to go through proper set of mind before begetting you. Prabhupada gave the devotees chant 50 rounds, following Garbhadhan Sanskar, you know. And then simply in the prayer mood of Lord Krishna, invite the subtle living entity to get conceived. So starting from that sanskaras up to the end of, you know, cremation, antyeshti, all 16 sanskaras are in related to the Supreme Personality of God. So nobody can forget. But still, if Daksh Prajapati can forget the purpose, what to speak of others, right? But nevertheless, being a great Vaishnava, Lord Shiva, even though being so abused by his so-called father-in-law, you know, he heard, but he got up and left the arena. Right? You must have heard about cursing and counter-cursing. Even Nandishwar cursed all those who were present and tolerated the insult of Lord Shiva. You know, they are doomed. They will become atheist. Right? They will become atheist. Bhrigu Muni also counter-cursed in defense of Daksha Prajapati. Why Bhrigu has to be, you know, these are the great rishis. Right? Why he was induced to counter-curse? Because the center of Krishna consciousness is moved by the reactions that are ensued in the indulgence. Daksha Prajapati was maintaining all the brahmanas. And he was supposed to be at least brahminical, but then he became so much ritualistic. Means he lost the purpose of sacrifices. So, such ignorance is imposed. So, can you imagine when the mode of passion is not satisfied, it will be a total cheating experience will be there. So therefore, we have to rise above the mode of goodness. Right? Lord Shiva shows the ideal example of Vaishnava etiquette. If by, any means, if somebody in devotional life get offended by another devotee, better leave the place. One should not listen. If one is able to counteract, just like Nandishwar, you know, counteracted and cursed all the brahmanas, then naturally counter curse will be also putting up no resolution. So, Nandishwar is a devotee, but Bhrigu Muni also got lost in his pursuit. Otherwise, if he could have retained. So, when one serves such Prajapati who are simply sense gratifiers, then the Brahmanas will be affected. And therefore, there was a counter curse. Nonetheless, somehow this is Krishna's plan. That counter curse of Bhrigupati was in favor of Lord the Vaishnavas. So those who worship similarly, simply Lord Shiva for all this benediction, you know, then they will be again, what Bhrigupati has said, that they should be bereft of everything. That is good for them. But people worship Lord Shiva other way around. Right? Now, in this verse, sages, the Brahmanas, you know, understood by this feud which went and cursing and counter-cursing, they came to senses. So they continued the yajna for the pleasure of the Lord for thousands of years. You know, because the purpose of any work that has to be turned into sacrifice, and sacrifice is meant for pleasure of the Lord. Because this is keeping us in a liberated state. This is keeping us in a liberated state. Otherwise, conditioned state is there. Then how are we going to progress unless we get proper understanding about this effects of the modes in any circumstances? If it is happening in Swargalok or the higher planetary system where Daksha Prajapati and all the inhabitants are there, what to speak of earthly dwellers? But nonetheless, the process of Krishna consciousness is available all times. In Kali Yuga, it is available with expedite manner. Why do we have to expedite? Because time is running so fast. You can't catch up with anything. So better now than never. Just to preserve the body, he said, better late than never. But we say better now than never. Spiritual life has to be taken right away with proper understanding. So Krishna consciousness teachings are very important. You know, that we can apply, understand from these incidents, you know, how to mold our life. In this verse, Vidur is called Maheshvasa. Vidur is called Maheshvasa. One who has so much confirmed faith. Vishwas is faith. But Swas and Vishwas has some difference. Swas means breathe. We breathe in, breathe out. In a single breath, is so vital that the doctors start measuring the pulses, because they are based on the breath, right? So, Vishishta Rupena Swasa Iti Vishwasa. If we have so much faith and understanding developed that if there is no swas, means dead. So, viswas has to be understood, vishishta. The faith should be so much specific on shraddha shabdeshu drada vishwasa karanishchaya Krishna bhakti karile sarva karma krita ho. You won't find any definition of faith anywhere just like this. What do you mean by faith? Prabhupada said, faith is like a belief which can change. But drada vishwas, cannot change. And that is triggered or centered only on Krishna Bhakti Karile. Simply perform all the activities as devotional service to be offered to Lord Krishna. Sarva karma kritaho. All our activities or our indulgence in the material nature will become fulfilled. Krita. Otherwise, if that center is lost, however one may be expert, there will be faults. Daksha means expert. In what? That's at the beginning. And later on, when Sati, when Uma became Sati, by igniting the fire of devotional service, when she came to understand why her husband was not in favor of her going, she understood. Lord Shiva denied not to go. That will come later. But the point is that the fire of devotional service can consume all the karmas and the generation that is coming through the activity karma. At that time, she, Uma, has been speaking because this body that she had was generated by an offender father. Offender father, Daksha. I don't need. I have been led to commit offense on the supreme absolute truth that is represented by Lord Shiva. I have also become an offender. So the fire of devotional service can consume all the seeds of the saints, even through mind, words, of or activities. So pure devotional service comes to this conclusion, you know, that all the activities are supposed to be performed for satisfaction of the Lord. This is the Bhagavad principle. Atahapumbi dvijasrishtha varanashama vibhagasaha dharmasya anutishthasya samsiddhim haritoshanam. For the satisfaction of haritoshan, satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, all our activities are supposed to be performed according to the prescribed duties of varanashram, but the aim is to satisfy the Lord. It is not that, oh, the Shudras have to do low activity. No. They can offer those activities for satisfaction of the Lord. Probably in the beginning, when certain sections of Varnasam system casted into those performing inferior type of work, it becomes what we call, corruption of the consciousness. Why? Because segregation of the society became a caste system. And those who are not even fitting, they think, so-called Brahmanas, who were cursed. Such thinking of Mayavadi or impersonalist aspect, only on bodily conception of life, that they are misled to conclude wrongly that those who are lower than the fourth Shudras, they are untouchables, or they are they must have a reserved caste. So caste segregation was still, it is still prominent in India. For example, 50 years back about, say, Harijans, this was a special word casted by Gandhi. Harijan means he must be the devotee. But at that time, some sort of sense was generated in this neglected tribe. They were supposed to take only, a Harijan means he was supposed to carry the stool of the whole locality of a town or city on their head and dump somewhere. This is the only thing. And they were getting meager salaries. We have seen practically that they would go around and collect the toilets of every household. That was the only cleaning process. But then there were some social reforms also. In the social reformation, they were taught how to become Vaishnava by chanting the glories of the name. Of course, hardly anybody knew, even in my town, and they were not chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra as a conclusive aspect. But nonetheless, there were other semi-religious glorification of the Supreme Lord. Because simply calling them Harijan doesn't, uplift them. They have to do the activity of the devotees. But still, if you go in their town or locality where they reside, they keep all the area cleaner than those brahmanas. So about same time, contemporary to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appeared, Narasimha Mehta in Gujarat especially, he defied and associated with them, just to show the right path. There's a beautiful, poems he wrote. Junagadh is the place where Narasimha Mehta was born and living. All right, there is a big mountain there, and underneath there is a big kund called Damodar Kund. So this devotee would go daily on his foot to take bath there. Then when he comes, he goes into the locality of the dead varana, means the ostracized stool carriers, what they call. Right? And there he would chant glories of the holy name. It is said, I have read a thesis that in Gujarat nobody knew when Narasimha Mehta was born. They were trying to make some research. So Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan was giving opportunities. So I happened to read one paper which was being written, in my cousin's place, it came into my hand, and there was some quotations that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he started his yatra, he happened to come to Junagadh. He met Narasimha Mehta. And Krishna Das, who was the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wrote Kadcha. Kadcha means the diaries. Upon the basis of written document of Krishna Das, they found that this is the era where Narasimha Mehta was born. I mean, there were contemporary many stalwart devotees, you know, maybe of different kinds, but nonetheless Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them. Guru Nanak in Punjab, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him in Jagannathpuri. Even in Guru Granth Sahib it is written, and research has been done. Every one of them, even after meeting Narasimha Mehta in Gujarat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started south in Pandharpur, he met Tukaram. So this was the Padayatra. Actually, Padayatra also started from Dwarka to Junagadh and all the way. They have already done eight times circumambulating whole India. I happened to participate in Kerala when I was there, you know, for about 8 days or more. But the point is that these were all quite knowledgeable about the downtrodden situation of the, what do you call, caste out. It's not from four, but the same Brahmanas who have lost their target of Lord Krishna, you know, they have devised more and more further caste and subcaste systems in India. And Britishers exploited. So, that is a well-recorded history. But what it means, they were in contemporary times, so we call Renaissance period of the golden age of Bhakti movement, where Guru Nanak is also involved, Narasimha Mehta is also involved, Tukaram is also involved, because Ansura Das, etc. They were all Vaishnav poets, and they have written beautiful glorification of the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened to meet them. So, there may be variation, but we need to understand these teachings that they became social reformers because this society, which was degraded by Vaishnava aparad, degraded by Vaishnava aparad. That is the cause. And it has been coming from Satya Yuga onwards, even Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga it will be worst, but it is being repeated. Artificially one cannot remove this so-called caste system, because more and more sub-caste systems are being formed. It's like splitting an atom creates sub-particles, and if you again hit that particle, more sub-particles will come. It's baffling. So, but we see philosophically and devotionally the root cause of this dilemma is there. That it is the puffed upness of the Brahminical class who are supposed to lead. They are no more there in Kali Yuga. Even the expert in propagation, they become completely devoid of the goal of life for the purpose of procreation. Everybody is begetting like cats and dogs, Prabhupada says. So, it is the nature of the guna that compels us into this. So how to, hit the nail on the head. When we go to the root cause, it is the forgetfulness of Krishna. So when we invest it in any situation, any stratum of the lives of people in general, in society, anyway, it becomes so uniform that Harinam becomes really Chintamani. So this is the vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all our predecessor acharyas in the line, and Srila Prabhupada has this global vision to create harmony on the basis of Krishna consciousness only. And then whatever the respective inclination in the jobs or services, then it has to be connected by hook or crook. This is an important thing. Vidur is Maheshvasa. What kind of faith he must have? Maheshvasa. It is important that such exalted personalities who are expansions of Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Yaksha, and Vidur, these are three expansions simultaneously appearing in the episode of Mahabharata. Dharma has to be expanded because it has been enunciated by the Supreme Lord Himself, and it will prevail. This is the incarnation in the form of sound vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is an important verse, and anybody has any question? The history tells that Arya Samaj, founded by Dayanand Saraswati in Haryana, I think it is near Panipat, Sonepat is the area. The Arya Samajis were, again, the ritualistic, Brahminical society. That dependent, or that their philosophy is only concerned about the original Vedas, four Vedas, and they were impersonalist, turned into Mayavadis also, but nonetheless they adhere that perform fire sacrifice. Yesterday we read about the Arya Samajis, what do they do? Prabhupada gives elaborate purpose, in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Arya Samajis became antagonistic with the devotional fervor of Guru Nanak. He was the one who wanted to spread the holy name. He came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found him out. It is recorded that he was in Jagannath Puri. He wanted to attend this Rathayatra. But he was situated outskirts of Jagannath Puri, and not in proximity. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized his symptoms as a pure devotee. So he offered him a place closer to the temple and made his associate aware of him, that he's an exalted personality, just facilitate him, see that he's not inconvenienced. And he was a preacher also himself. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had fondness for him. And during the time of Ratiyatra, both danced together. This is recorded in Guru Granth Sahib. And one Dr. Singh wrote a few years back a treatise on Guru Granth Sahib and importance of Sankirtan. Sikhs believe in Sankirtan, but after the 10th Guru, Guru Gobind Singh, they became militant. But then it also gave rise to those who are simply fond of Kirtan. So there are two. But from two, there became many and they turned into Mayavad. So from the original Sikh means Siksha, right? It has nothing to do with externalism. It is all some rituals of keeping long hair, panch keshas, five things. What are they? Kanga, kesh, kada, kukri, whatever it is. And what is the fifth one? Kachha. Yeah, that is langot. Alright? They are all supposed to wear that. Then it becomes a specific identity of being a Sikh. But later on, these five things have been added. Guru Nanak was simply dependent upon the holy name and mala. Okay? So, all his teachings are based on the holy name. But then everyone added their teachings. So there were 9 editions over and over and over again. So that was recorded in Guru Granth Sahib. But when the Arya Samaj is confronted them, the entire Haryana and Punjab, now it is Haryana, but it was only Punjab before, it was completely infested with Arya Samaj is powerful, and they segregated the Sikhs. That is the therefore the Sikhs want their own nation. They don't call them Hindus even, because of hate it created by artificial, it's actually ignorance of the so-called Brahminical caste. And that happened to be a Gujarati. Dayanand Saraswati, he did it. But regardless, there are many Sikhs now, they become liberal. Namadhari was the first sect coming out from them. But then, this Mayavad crept in. So, all others are generated. Nirankari was generated. Then, were not till Satchasodha was
So you can see the degradation, you know, because of getting away from the purpose. So even we have big temple in Mathura outskirts, you know, on the highway itself, huge temple, Jai Gurudev, Nam Paramatmaka. Okay, but they would not chant Hare Krishna, they would not chant any name. This is their thing, you know, how the deviation is going on. They deviate from the instructions, original instruction to chant Hare Krishna. So, yes, we'll chant Hare Krishna, alright? So japa, but japa radhik syam, what is that? Bhajanitaya gaura radhe syam, japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram. But that slogan became so prominent that they chant all the time, so they don't have time to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So you can see the deviation from the instructions are there. It is the influence of Maya. Prabhupada criticizes this. They make their process alternately connected with the holy name, and they forget the holy name. You know, they forget. That is not the target. So anyway, Prabhupada was bold enough to show the discrepancies, you know, and this is coming. The root cause you can see at the topmost level of Swargaloka. How they become obsessed and influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance. It is not that we can say easily that in Kali Yuga mode of ignorance is more prevalent. But passion and ignorance are the root cause of our fall down. We take independent opportunity to indulge in mode of passion, but the results are always in mode of ignorance. Because passion nature is not going to satisfy, it will keep you active up to a certain time and they dwindle. But it will create the deep impression in our psyche that we'll never forget. That is the root cause of our repeated birth and death. The mind is the receptor of all the sensory perceptions. So, turning back by understanding the results, turning back is important, and that's why the Yuga Dharma was directly given. That it hits the nail to the problem. The problem has to be heated. Big blow. And no compromise. I told you once that, you know, again in Gujarat, this happens. You know, in 84 or so, I was visiting Gujarat from USA, and we are fond of this Gujarati newspapers, you know, because they have varieties of sections, and one was sarcastic section, you know, and that was telling about how people take so lightly even the quotes from Bhagavad Gita to turn into jokes. They think that is an art of literature. To take the slokas from Lord Krishna's mouth and make fun of it. So in the newspaper there was one column written by Bakul Tripathi. He was considered to be Hasya Lekhak, the author and, you know, Vyang or Kataksh or what we call some angle of critical viewpoint. All right? He wrote about the verse Sarvasya Chaham Radisan Nivisto Mattas Pratirgnana Pohanam Cha, and elaborate the whole article on it, and completely on some external Manorathena Asati Dhavato Bahi. He said, I am in the translation, he did the translation like that. I am sitting in the heart of all living entities in the form of cha, means tea. Sarvasya chaham radisan nivishto. So he translated the chaham as tea, cha. Chai. And matta smritir gnanam pohanam cha. If I do not take tea in the morning, then there is no smriti gnanam. I thought I should counteract, but somehow or another I was visiting only for a few days. But it gave me a deep impression where people are taking the absolute truth and they misuse. And those who are simply, you know, using the mode of passion to excite through the literature, that is actually not helping the reality. It is putting people away and away and away from the reality. So anyway, it requires great faith, a great leap of faith. That is better to land on the reality rather than on the moon. It requires a great leap of faith. But it has to be verified, it has to be, you know, practiced by perfectness. Because it is perfect, anybody who is connected with it, it will be perfect. So Maheshvasa, the Vidura, is having a great, great faith. Unshakable. Any other question? Yes?
So how does one make this great leap of faith?
Chant. Offenselessly. You got a cup of sweet rice, don't put sand in it. And then you will understand, it is sweet. It's still sweet, but you can't enjoy. You won't get the result. Prabhupada also calls, we are simply licking the bottle of honey from outside without opening the lid and putting our finger and dropping on the tongue. Any other question? There is no justification. You know, justification apparently in material world, which is influenced by three modes again. It shows something partial, somebody is greater, or it's not nullified at all and cannot be nullifiable. But both the curses are still existing and carried forward, isn't it? But how do devotees take? How do the devotees have to take? Brahmanas can be affected that way, but Vaishnavas should not be affected because they have one more sense of indiscrimination. They have to become equal because both are in material sense, product of material nature. Devotees take both as very important impetus to be spiritual. And materialists take as, oh my God, even in the heaven this has happened, let me be atheistic. Who cares? There is no justification in material world. Material world is the prison house. The justice is already done by putting us into the material house. Justice is already done. But by our good behavior, we can be paroled. We are on parole. The devotees who are practicing, they are on parole. So we have to be accepting for the betterment of our spiritual life. The Brahmanas are going to be bereft of spiritual nature. So Nandishwar's curse is coming true. Brahmanas are become Brahma Bandhus. You know? There is hardly any Brahman. Janmana jayate shudra. When Prabhupada started initiating the devotees in New York and elsewhere, he said, I am just making you Brahmanas. Even though you do not have qualification, I am making you Brahmanas. Brahmanas will be automatically coming in line if they become first Vaishnava. Here we see it's a conflict. Daksha Prajapati, by his material expertise in begetting children, so became obsessed by that mode of passion that he insulted Lord Shiva, the great devotee. Nandishwar defended only the greatness of Lord Shiva. But he was his father-in-law, and by physical nature, father-in-law is supposed to be greater than the son-in-law. And son-in-law must stand up and respect and bow down, touch his feet. And Shiva did not care. He sat down, never rise up. That material nature disturbed Daksha. And then he cursed. Then Nandishwar cursed. But Nandishwar cursed in protection of the glories of Lord Shiva. Yeah, but Bhrigamani did not curse for glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I heard the explanation that he cursed because he wanted to protect Vedas.
But not the conclusion of the Vedas he wanted to protect. He wanted to protect only the externalities of the Vedas. Vedeshu sarvesu aham eva vedya. When Krishna's identification is not there, they simply think the Vedas are limited to the demigods, and all the demigods have to have their share. But the demigods are living entities. Out of the living entities, those who are devotees of the Lord, they are more in exalted position. And that is not material position, because that is Krishna's choice. Only devotees can make Krishna's family, because devotees are supposed to be dwelling on the internal potency of the Lord, which is constitutionally their part and parcel of. Right? While these people are on the bodily conception of life, Bhrugupati's curses is on bodily conception of life. Otherwise, why would Krishna instruct Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Naistragunya Bhava Arjuna? Come out from the clutches of the flowery language of the Vedas, which is filled with the three modes of material nature. Come out. Become transcendental to it. Aim of Bhrugupati is not transcendental in the cursing. Is he telling that Bhrugupati is wanting to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by these ritualistic activities of oblations and other things? No, they came to take their share. And the share was given by the big industrialist in sex life, expert. Therefore, they got affected by the three modes. So, the important thing is that Nandeshwar is trying to keep the glory of the Lord by cursing, but at the same time, Bhrugupati is trying to keep the Vedic rituals as the center point of glorification, not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, this curse is taken by the devotees who are in favor of Lord Krishna, that whatever Bhrugupati cursed for the worshipper of Lord Shiva to be bereft of the real truth or whatever it is, that is good. They become Mayavadis, the followers of Lord Shiva, and even in as Shankaracharya, they are atheists. That curse is beneficial for Vaishnavas, because by understanding the position of Lord Shiva, they will keep him, but not his benediction and other things which are so easily given to fulfill the followers' demands. I mean, there is not a greater example ever to be found in the whole Vedic literature other than Lord Shiva, who is so much detached. That detachment is for meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Mahashankarshan, whom he was the transformation. That is Bhagavatam says. So the idea is that for devotees who are equivision by cultivating the achintya, bheda and abheda simultaneously, indiscrimination. The sense of indiscrimination. They are both equal. We should welcome it because both are going to be profitable for our going back home back to Godhead. The glories of the Vaishnava is to be preserved at the same time. We can shun off those who are simply worshipper of demigods for sense gratification. Is anybody asking from the demigod other than sense gratification? They are all, let me have peace of mind, that's why I'm worshipping Lord Shiva. Then what will he do? Sense gratification. I can do it peacefully. The aim and objective is completely different for the impersonalist, Mayavadis, or anything. So, it's not counter curse is going to counteract the truth. It's both Lord Shiva and Daksha are going to be on the equal platform? No. Those who are atheists and non-believers, they will keep on bragging and quibbling about the glories of Daksha. Because after all, material life is also affording us to make an attempt of becoming perfect. Manushyanam shastreshu kaschid atadisa. But kaschid. Out of thousands of men, hardly one tries to make his material life perfect. And those who are materially perfect, hardly anybody knows to Lord Krishna. Kaschin mam vetti tatvata. So why, in devotional life, why it is so precious? Precious means you won't bet for anything. The spiritual life based on the touchstone of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is more valuable than the touchstones of material life. That Sanatana Goswami is giving us. Right? So we have to underline the intention. And Brahmana is a great muni, but somehow or another he is cursing in favor of devotees. So why would Lord Shiva be disturbed by that? No. But when Daksha insulted him, he walked out. That's Vaishnava etiquette. Nandishwar was trying to defend. Even one may balance or weigh both the arguments, Nandishwar and Bhrigupati. It's a subjective opinion. It is not a Krishna conscious opinion. In Krishna consciousness, we see things both are equal, but both are beneficial to advance our consciousness. Anything else? It's 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.